You're listening to Rocky Mountain Review on 90.5 FM at KCSU Fort Collins for Tuesday, April 30th. I'm Lee Zimpel, your news director.
And I'm Tyler Weatherwax, your assistant news director. And we are the voices behind the Rocky Mountain Review news broadcast that airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
As always, we here at the Rocky Mountain Review strive to give you the most up-to-date, unbiased, and factual news. On today's show, CSU is partnering with Poudre School District to help combat a shortage of mental health professionals. Tyler will tell you how in campus.
And in local, a million-dollar scam in Fort Collins put a man behind bars. Learn more with Lee in local.
Then the Fort Collins beer scene just gained a new brewery. More on that in Life and Events with Tyler. And after that, you'll hear from the people behind yesterday's Free Palestine protest on the plaza.
Later on in the broadcast, marijuana could be classified differently as a drug in the United States. Lee will go over that more in national news. And with that, we'll get started with campus news. Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Colorado State University campus news. Yesterday on campus, CSU saw a large crowd of protesters make their way through the campus in support of Palestine. The protesters claimed that Colorado State University had, quote, blood on their hands. Lee will be diving deep into the protest with interviews and plenty more details for our feature segment of the Rocky Mountain Review, so stay tuned for that later on. A CSU football player has been sentenced to work release probation after an incident from the spring 2023 semester. On the first day of classes for that semester, Avery Morrow, a running back for CSU football, was illegally parked in an alley when a person on a longboard became angry with Avery where he was parked. After some hand gestures and frustration with Morrow, the longboarder rolled by and hit Morrow's car with his hand, where Morrow then got out of the car and repeatedly punched the longboarder. Morrow was arrested and his trial was on the felony of assault charge. However, the jury found him guilty of only a misdemeanor charge of assault. Morrow was sentenced to 60 days in jail and 4 years of supervised probation. Morrow can also serve the 60 days through a work release program. This story comes from the Coloradoan. Teens in Fort Collins that go to Poudre School District are learning to better handle their emotions. The teens are involved in a partnership between CSU and Poudre School District. With a shortage of mental health experts in the Poudre School District, Colorado State University is now helping the teens in the shortage. With after-school clubs and more, CSU is helping the mental health of these local teens. This story comes from CBS. Coming up now is Lee with your local news. Learn more about a million-dollar investment scam in Fort Collins.
In local news, Larimer County confirmed Monday that for the first time this year, local health and environment experts found a case of animal rabies, and it comes from an infected bat that was found in Fort Collins. The bat was found on a porch last Thursday near the intersection of Drake and Timberline. Rabies is a deadly virus, and county officials say if you get exposed to it, patients need to be treated as quickly as possible before symptoms appear. In a release that discloses the finding of the infected bat to the community, experts say without quick treatment after exposure to rabies and once symptoms start happening, there is no cure and it becomes a nearly guaranteed fatal infection. Rabies is spread through saliva, often from a bite or scratch from an infected animal. The bat found last week is not the first time Larimer County saw a case of animal rabies. In fact, in the last decade, there have been about 300 confirmed cases in total. About a third of that total comes from infected bats. So now, county officials say if you see a bat at your home, they recommend to avoid trying to handle the bat yourself, especially with bare hands. The county says to try safely isolating the bat to a single room by closing doors or windows and to call NOCO Human Animal Protection and Control. The county also says you should seek out medical attention as soon as you can after finding a bat to make sure you are safe and treated if needed. In general, experts say not to interact with wild animals, even if they look harmless. They recommend to make sure garbage cans and other outdoor spaces with food and waste are tightly closed to avoid attracting any animals to your own home. If you want more information about cases of animal rabies in Larimer County, like the number of cases or where infected animals were found, that information is available online at larimer.gov/rabies. A former real estate agent in Larimer County is now facing jail time for an over $1 million investment scam. Last Tuesday, 54-year-old Brett Lampers was sentenced in Weld County to 90 days in prison, and after that, he'll have another 10 years of supervised probation. Lampers is also now responsible for paying back all that money to investors, which prosecutors say he stole during a period between 2017 and 2019. He legally owes that money to over a dozen investors after he pleaded guilty to securities fraud in December. Weld County officials say Lampers entered a business called Investments of Windsor LLC in early 2015, and out of all the condo contract sales he made in Windsor, less than a third of those actually followed through with building the condos guaranteed in the contracts. In total, investigators say Lampers stole $1,062,500 from the people who invested in that condo project. He was arrested 2 years ago, but it wasn't until last week that he now faces his official sentence for the fraud. According to investigators, Lampers used that stolen money for personal luxury purchases like vacations or tickets for sporting events. Weld County's district attorney says Lampers' fraud had a ripple effect on victims and their families, saying that some of those victims were counting on retiring soon, but now have to work for an extra couple years or even need multiple jobs. As Lampers now has to figure out how to pay back those victims, his plea agreement says if he can't follow through with probation conditions or other parts of his sentence, he would end up facing a harsher sentence of 18 years behind bars. My name is Lee Zimpel, and those were your local news updates for today. Up next, a new brewery has opened up in town, adding to Fort Collins' nationally known beer culture. More on that and other updates when we come back from the break with Tyler for Life and Events.
Tribal Rights is a proud supporter of KCSU and the KCSU Volleyball Broadcast. Located on 628 College Ave, Tribal Rights is a full custom tattoo and piercing studio, as well as a jewelry and permanent jewelry boutique. For more information about Tribal Rights, visit tribalrites.com.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with Life and Events for Colorado State University and Fort Collins. Fort Collins will soon have a new brewery in the city, but it's already one that Fort Collins residents may be familiar with. Verboten Brewery is opening up its second location soon at 1611 South College Avenue. The already existing brewery is located in Loveland, just south of Fort Collins. The expansion is set to open up the weekend of May 3rd and will have 20 taps. The story comes from the Denver Post. As for some events coming up tomorrow, you can catch some yoga and enjoy the sun, or at least what's left of it. Tomorrow at 7 p.m., you can attend Sunset Yoga, which saw great success in the fall semester here at CSU. The CSU community is invited to attend Sunset at Yoga, located on the west lawn of the Laurie Student Center. The event will last from 7 to 9 p.m. And for some live music coming up this week is Start Making Sense. Start Making Sense plays at the Aggie Theater on Thursday night and is a seven-piece Talking Heads tribute band. The band faithfully recreates the music and experience of the Talking Heads, who were originally a popular 1980s rock band. And you may find yourself at the Aggie Theater Thursday night at 9 p.m., and you may find yourself there until around midnight. That will do it for Life and Events for the Rocky Mountain Review. Coming up now is Lee with your Rocky Mountain Review feature story, with Lee reporting on the pro-Palestine protest that occurred here at CSU on the main plaza yesterday, featuring interviews from some of the protesters.
On my promise, on my fence, on my land, you will find me, you will find me. Why? Because my blood is Palestinian. We stand.
A diverse crowd of people ranging in ages, religions, and ethnicities gathered on the plaza Monday afternoon, prepping for a march to the administration building in the Oval to deliver a letter. As the music played, echoing throughout the plaza, the crowd of CSU students and other members of the local community slowly started to grow. Homemade signs on cardboard had phrases like "In solidarity with the Palestinian people" and "Jews for peace." As the crowd grew, the energy on the plaza also seemed to grow, as the planned on-campus protest in support of a free Palestine and ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war started to take shape. The protest was organized by CSU students, and in their opening remarks to the crowd of protesters, organizers were saying they wanted the demonstration's purpose to be loud and clear.
My name is Ella, and I am one of the organizers here with Students for Justice in Palestine.
I am Tariq, and I am also a student organizer with Students for Justice Palestine.
So this event really is a call out to the university, especially with the imminent invasion of Rafah, which is a declared safe zone by the Israeli military, and yet they are mounting an invasion on Rafah. Additionally, with the mounting protests around the country, specifically with our comrades at Columbia, at CU Denver Auraria campus, at Emory, all across the country, we really want to show solidarity to the Palestinian people, remind them that they are not alone. And this event is truly to call out CSU, because not only have they not made a statement, but they are not existing in transparency.
Yeah, we're really just here today to call out our university. We've been out here for months protesting, calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, but now we're really calling for the university to divest funds and provide complete transparency in regards to its financial investment. CSU has they have public programs such as internship programs with Woodward Inc., which is based here in Fort Collins, and the Department of Defense provides the most internship programs to CSU students as well. As far as endowment goes, that's almost completely private, so we're not really able to see what the university's endowment is actually going towards, but as far as involvement, Colorado State has active involvement with defense contracting internships. And work study opportunities.
Their silence on Palestine is very telling about, you know, what they think on the current genocide that is ongoing. They made a statement very quickly after the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, or the ramp up really of violence against Ukrainians from Russians. However, they have not yet made a statement on the ongoing genocide in Palestine, and they have not called for a ceasefire.
As the march towards the admin building kicked off with their letter demanding CSU divest in hand, protesters chanted along the way, led by student organizers like Ella and Tariq, who asked to only be identified by their first names for safety reasons. The crowd grew to roughly over 100 protesters, and together they moved like a unit through CSU's campus, drawing eyes from students passing by, or the occasional CSU police officer keeping eyes on the crowd from a distance. The emotion from the crowd was consistent throughout the march, and their message was loud and clear.
It feels amazing. It feels amazing to see our student body out here with us today. We have a much larger turnout here of our student body that we expected. And our community as well, our Fort Collins community, has really showed out today and really supported us in this cause and our demands to the university.
It is wonderful that our university students, the community around Fort Collins, and just everyone really care about the Palestinian people. This has been an issue since 1948, and honestly even before that, but since 1948, which is the foundation of the State of Israel. And it's really warms your heart, gives you hope to see this many individuals actually caring about it, and this many individuals who want to spend their time. You know, we live in Colorado. We don't live anywhere near Palestine, anywhere near Gaza, but this many individuals who truly believe this is an issue and believe that the university needs to divest. Palestine is an issue not only for, you know, those who are Arab American, those who are Arab, those who are Palestinian, but it's really an issue for all of us. And I do just want to say I'm a Jewish individual, and the use and the levying of anti-Semitic comments, anti-Semitic statements, And the use of claiming that this is an anti-Semitic movement really is just awful, and it's completely untrue. I have had more support for being Jewish here in this movement than I have outwardly in Colorado, in Fort Collins in general. And honestly, this is a Jewish issue just as much as it is a Palestinian issue. People are trying to weaponize our identities as Jews, and it is completely ridiculous, and we must take a stand.
I just want to really call on the university again to align in our shared democratic values and our shared duty and civic responsibility. The university has instilled principles of community in us and these different ideals that claim to uphold democratic principles, and we just hope that the university will be able to meet us at the table and truly have an honest and open discussion about these issues and our demands.
As the semester is quickly coming to an end, it also marks the end of CSU's thematic year of democracy and civil engagement. But even with the theme ending, the cause and energy behind Monday's protest will stick around. Advocates for a free Palestine are not just in the CSU community. They're also in colleges across the U.S. as multiple on-campus protests continue on. And until there is peace in Gaza, it's likely that the momentum pushing against the Israel-Hamas war will carry on. My name is Lee Zimpel, and for now, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we'll go over the latest international news with updates to how the U.S. Drug Control Agency will reclassify marijuana and more. That'll be right after the break.
This is Sean Howard from Mean Old Man. You're listening to 90.5 KCSU. Keep it mean, but don't get bitter.
And we are back from the break. I'm Lee Zimpel, bringing you some of the latest stories coming out of national news for today. A Colorado man was accused of attempted espionage during his time as a National Security Agency employee, and as of Monday, he now faces over 21 years behind bars. Investigators say 32-year-old Jarrett Dahlke tried to send sensitive national defense information to an undercover agent that was posing as a Russian spy. Dahlke admitted that when he worked as an NSA information systems security designer in the summer of 2022, he used an encrypted email account to send information to someone he thought was a Russian agent. He says he shared the classified documents to show his, quote, willingness to share. The Russian agent was actually an undercover FBI employee, and the Office of Public Affairs says Dahlke asked for $85,000 for sending the information over. Dahlke was arrested by the FBI in September last year, moments after he arranged to send more files to an undercover agent. According to CBS News, FBI Director Christopher Wray says Dahlke's sentence serves as a warning to those who are trusted with protecting national defense information and that there are serious consequences to betraying that trust. Marijuana might soon be classified in the U.S. as a less dangerous drug, and it's a move that marks a historic change to generations of American drug policy. The U.S. Drug Control Agency's proposal to reclassify marijuana still needs to make it through the White House, but if it does, it would mean that medical use of marijuana is nationally recognized as legitimate, and it also officially means experts acknowledge it as less likely to abuse compared to other drugs. The agency's focus is just on medical use. Though recreational use of marijuana will not be legalized across the board if their proposal passes, but experts do say that the move to reclassify it will have a wide range of impact across the country, and it would be the agency's biggest policy change in over five decades. Right now, marijuana is classified as a Schedule 1 drug, and that puts it next to heroin and LSD in terms of how dangerous the agency says it is. Now it would move to be a Schedule 3 drug, which bumps it down with some anabolic steroids and ketamine. Schedule 3 drugs are still controlled substances, so they'll follow certain rules and regulations still, but it's recognized as a much less dangerous drug. As a Schedule 3 drug, marijuana would be legally considered less dangerous than Adderall or fentanyl, which are both Schedule 2 drugs. This move comes after President Biden called for a review of medical marijuana law in October 2022, and thousands of Americans convicted of weed possession were pardoned. In December, Biden said marijuana convictions create unnecessary barriers to opportunities, and that, quote, too many lives have been upended because of our failed approach to marijuana. It's time that we right those wrongs. Biden and some lawmakers from both political parties were pushing for another look at marijuana's legal classification. For now, the DEA is waiting for a sign of approval, and once that happens, they'll soon be able to push for the final policy change. Contributions to this story comes from the Associated Press. That'll wrap up national news. Coming up, Tyler will have your CSU and Colorado sports report when we come back from the break.
This is DJ Pity Party, and you're listening to KCSU Fort Collins.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with your Colorado State University sports update. CSU softball has a big week ahead of them as the CSU women's softball team plays right here in Fort Collins against Boise State in their three-game series starting Thursday. The Rams play Thursday, Friday, and Saturday against Boise and are hoping to improve their record even more. The Rams have already clinched a spot for the 2024 Mountain West tournament, but they are still hoping to improve. That tournament will start May 9th and last until the 11th. A CSU Ram heard his name called at the NFL draft last week. Muhammad Kamara was drafted in the fifth round, with the Miami Dolphins taking him with the 158th overall pick of the draft. Kamara is the first CSU defensive player drafted in the NFL since 2016. Corey James was the last defensive Ram taken. Kamara was described as, quote, relentless by his CSU head coach, Jay Norville. While only one Ram was drafted last week, two other former players from CSU signed as NFL free agents after the draft. Dallin Holker and Chigozie Anousom both signed deals with NFL teams. Holker, the tight end from CSU, signed a deal with the New Orleans Saints, and he had 105 targets while playing at CSU for only 1 year. As for Anousom, he signed with the Washington Commanders. These stories come from the Coloradoan. And the Denver Broncos made news this week during the draft. The Broncos didn't draft any CSU Rams, but they did draft Oregon quarterback Bo Nix. Bronco fans are hoping that Nix will be the end of their quarterback carousel and finally land a quarterback to stay in Denver and hopefully make it to the playoffs. That is all for your CSU sports update. My name is Tyler Weatherwax.
And that is all for today. We would like to thank Damian Castile for our amazing theme music. We'd also like to thank the rest of our staff here at KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media. We couldn't do this without you.
Finally, we couldn't do this without you, dear listener, so thank you. If you missed any part of today's show, you can find the RMR podcast on kcsufm.com under the news or podcast section. You can also find us on Spotify or anywhere else you listen to your podcasts by searching KCSU News. And with that, we'll see you next time.